Hey, hi, and hello, everyone. You are listening to the Collegiate Catholic Show, the podcast that spreads Christ's light to college students around the world. My name is Mason Arneson, the host of the Collegiate Catholic Show and the Assistant Director of Campus Ministry at the St. Thomas More Newman Center Parish, located on the campus of the University of Missouri. Wherever you're listening from, thank you so much for joining us today as we come to you from beautiful St. Hood Studio. Let's begin our time together like we begin all things that are good in prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Come, Holy Spirit, rest in our hearts, Lord Jesus. Make us into better saints today. Good and gracious Father, we thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to grow in deeper relationship with you. Each and every day, every single opportunity is a gift to grow in communion with you and with your only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and with the Holy Spirit. And we just ask that today, for ourselves, for our friends, for our loved ones, that all of us may grow in communion, so that way we may all together inherit eternal life in heaven. We ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope y'all are having a blessed Holy Week so far. And with this season being an important time for people who want to deepen their faith, I think that this episode is a wonderful opportunity to just talk about how to make that jump from someone who just goes to Mass on occasion or on the big days of the year, like Easter, to someone who makes Sunday Mass a priority every single week. Today, we have one of my good friends and the man who played a major role in me taking my Sunday obligation and the Catholic faith as a whole more seriously. Of course, I'm talking about the one and only Kip Curtis. Kip is closing out his sixth and final year as a Focus missionary, and he has served five of those years here at the University of Missouri. The last 3 years, he has served as the team director here, and he is looking forward to what lies ahead as he is getting married this May to his wonderful fiance, Mary, and the two of them will live in the Denver area. So, without further ado, Kip Curtis, welcome to the Collegiate Catholic Show.
Hey, Mason, how are you? Thank you so much for having me. It's good to be here.
I'm doing pretty dang good, talking to one of my groomsmen here today, talking to a great spiritual mentor of mine throughout the years. Nowhere I'd rather be than here talking on the pod with you. And I feel like getting a sense of who you are for the listeners who might not know the story of Kip Curtis and why we're kind of talking about breaking the Christmas Easter Catholic status quo. I guess let's just start off by talking about your own testimony and how you came to the faith and really started to take it seriously towards the end of your college experience, and then how that flowed into your life as a missionary with Focus that you've been with for 6 years now.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, I'll spend a few minutes and can share a bit of my story. So I grew up in a faithful Catholic household. I went to a great Catholic high school, and coming out of high school, I knew I wanted to choose my faith going into college and was excited to do that. And so I went to Indiana University, found the church on campus, and started attending Mass on Sundays, went to confession semi-regularly, was generally trying to keep sin out of my life, I would say. But I think that like my priorities in sports and in career started to overtake my spiritual priorities in my life, I would say. And that it was kind of a slow burn of how that happened. But pretty much over the course of 3.5 years, like I would have still definitely named myself a Catholic and tried to make masses every Sunday, but wouldn't say that I had or was pursuing much of a relationship, of a personal relationship with Jesus myself. And at the end, I guess at the beginning of my senior year, towards the beginning, One of my best friends ended up passing away at the beginning of that year. And that day, I remember really wrestling with the Lord, I think, for the first time in my life. And started to ask some big questions of like, okay, God, are you real? And if you're real, are you good? And is your word true? And are you who you say you are? Because in my head, what I know you to be is this good God who loves his people, and here's my best friend who just passed away. And like, why did this happen? Why me? Why him? Why now? All these just kind of like major questions that you can wrestle with. And I think that was I kind of like to say, like, that's the first time in my life I like really started to pray, because that I see prayer as this like relationship with the Lord, which isn't always necessarily rainbows and butterflies, right? But one of like, one of intimacy and one of hardship and one of that, like, I want to know who God is, and I want to know his plan for my life, and I want to be known by the Lord. And because I'm sinful and broken, I wasn't interested in that until my friend passed, my senior year. So I can talk more on that later, but my soon after that, I got invited to this SEEK conference. I started going to daily masses here and there after my friend passed away. And by the nature of going to daily masses, you get to know some of the people who go to daily mass and who are a little bit more involved in the Newman Center. And I was sitting at mass one day, and they made an announcement inviting us all to SEEK, this focus conference. And I probably had like three friends at the Newman Center, and I was sitting next to one of them at mass. And we both decided that we're like, we should go to this conference. And I didn't know what Focus was. I didn't know we had missionaries on our campus. I didn't know anything about this. And we signed up for the conference. It was in Indianapolis, so it was only like 30 minutes away from my house. And it was at SEEK that my life really changed in a dramatic way, like basically every day. Where I was before that, I was willing to participate in my faith life as a solo endeavor, but didn't really want any community. I had my friends on my team and my friends in the business school, and wasn't really looking for other friendships. But it was at SEEK where I was like, okay, man, there are thousands of people here who have given their lives radically to the Lord and want to know and love him. And I'm not one of those right now, but I want to be. And so over the course of SEEK, like, really was having this major conversion day by day. And then on the last day of SEEK, Father Mike Schmitz was giving the keynote and was talking about indifference. And he described indifference as caring, but not caring enough to act. And that day was January 7th, 2019. And that would have been my friend who passed away, his 22nd birthday. So I was already thinking about that day. And it was an emotionally charged day. And then when Father Mike said that, I was like, okay, that's me. That, like, I don't want to be indifferent towards the faith. And I made a promise to Jesus that day. I was like, okay, Lord, I'm giving you one semester fully in my life. I want to get involved in Bible study and in discipleship, and I want to go on a mission trip, and I want to do all these. I just like want to give my life fully to you. And at this point in my life, sports were going well. I had already signed a job offer and kind of on autopilot, school-wise, for the rest of the year, which gave me the freedom to like really jump head first. And it totally changed my life. I met a missionary named Shane. He gave his whole life to me. He taught me what it meant to pray and to be a Christian and to have good friends and to live virtue. This is a whole separate story. But then he invited me to become a missionary. And I told him, heck no, I'm not doing that. Ended up going on a weekend, and the Lord was working in my heart. And I eventually said yes to joining Focus and have been here ever since for the past 5.5 years. And it's been a tremendous gift in my life, and has completely changed my heart. And has been a huge gift to work alongside many college students, yourself included, Mason. So,
I mean, I know I've heard like at least some of that story before, and kind of knowing before hopping on the pod about the importance that SEEK your senior year really had in terms of your conversion to like actually taking the faith seriously and going all in for the Lord during that last semester at IU. But it's always great to hear it again, and like so many graces. I feel like I hear something new from it every time. And one thing that really, like, thinking about what you were talking about, and especially like you had the mindset of when you were going to college of you wanted to make the Catholic faith an important aspect of your life and something that you took seriously. But as you mentioned, like the life and times of college and your job aspirations and playing ultimate frisbee and like doing all this stuff around campus and like moving yourself forward towards your degree kind of shifted your focus in that a little bit. So especially like thinking back on your own experience, some of the experience of your friends who were alongside you at IU, and also now in the 6 years that you've been a missionary, what are some of the common reasons for why many Catholic college students enter with an expectation of where faith is going to be in their life and how they, I don't want to say like fallen away, but that indifference, I think that you alluded to earlier, how like many Catholic college students become indifferent to the faith while they're in college?
Yeah, that's a great question and a loaded one too, because there's probably all sorts of reasons, but if I'm allowed to generalize or take a guess, I would say as to why some of this happens, I guess just to share a little bit more about my own story, and that probably speaks into what a number of people experience as well. But I think something that I think about often is that the idea of having a relationship with Jesus growing up, like I was familiar with that idea. And in high school, I learned a lot about Jesus. I loved my high school experience and went to a great Catholic school and learned a ton there. And that was very pivotal in my faith. But I would say that even at that point in my life as a college freshman, I was like familiar with the idea of having a relationship with Jesus, but I don't think was living one or trying to pursue one or just like really had the imaginative vision for what that even could look like. And I think that is, I'm a man who likes rules. I like order and I like to know what I need to do and what I shouldn't do. And I think that was that's just like a very appealing part of the church for me, is that there is ritual and there's rules, you could say, like there's law and law is love. And I was bought into the fact that like, okay, the Lord has given us these commands for a particular reason, like it's for our good. But I wouldn't say my primary motivator in those was I wasn't following what the church had to say out of a love for Jesus. But it was just like, well, I know generally these are good for me to do. So I want to adhere to these. But I was thinking, it's funny that today is Valentine's Day and that I get to be on the podcast with you, Mason. But rather to see it just like as a love story, basically. Like I want to be a man who's in love with Jesus and want to be a man who's capable of receiving at least to some extent the love that Jesus has for me. And I think that it was just like a completely foreign concept in my head, and that in all relationships, right? It's like many of our closer relationships are motivated out of love for this person. And I think that it can be an easy thing for college students be like, okay, I at least need to go to church on the big two times of the year, which are Christmas and Easter. And I'm not really feeling this sort of relationship that I do with my peers or that I do with my coworkers or that I feel like I need to put an effort into with these human or these like tangible human relationships that I have. And when people don't feel that quite as much with the Lord or at all, I think it would make sense that they, once they have a lot more freedom in their life in getting to college, it would make sense that they start to step away from weekly habits or even monthly habits and maybe just go on big times of the year when you're with family. So that's kind of, I don't know, we could probably talk about that particular question for another hour, which maybe we will, but that's kind of a bit of what I would think some people experience, because I think that's part of my story too.
I think the relationship aspect of it is really important, because I think oftentimes what you said at the beginning of when you were talking of in high school, you learned about Jesus, but like, and you also, of course, through your family and going to Catholic school and going through theology classes, like you pick up a little bit about who Jesus is, but like you also kind of learn just through talking with your parents or going to church what the rules are. And it's ultimately not about falling in love with the rules of the Catholic Church, but it's falling in love with the person of Jesus Christ
Right.
that really kind of animates the faith more so than just like, okay, I'm following all the rules, like I'm checking the boxes and I'm living a life that on the outside seems pretty morally good. Like I think when you were talking about that, what came to my mind was the story of the rich young man. And because he comes up to Jesus and says, look, I follow all of your commandments, like what more must I do to gain eternal life? And when Jesus says, sell all of your possessions, pick up your cross and follow me, it's like, okay, it's shifting from rules into relationship. And I think like that's ultimately where the rich young man walks away sad, is because he's like, oh, this relationship is going to take more time than just me showing up, you know? And I think additionally, like with the whole Christmas, Easter, like status quo, it's not just like, oh, like you're only going during like the two big holidays of the year. Like it can even just be kind of like a lukewarmness to the faith of I just show up for an hour because it's just my obligation to do it, as opposed to out of like trying to get something deeper out of it or trying to actually build something in a relationship with Christ.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to think about it too. And maybe we could throw Ash Wednesday into this and make it a trio, you know?
Yeah.
It is a big day. But yeah, there is this sense of like, I feel like many, many people, I'd maybe even argue the majority of people, like have some desire to live some spiritual life, or want to be spiritual in some way, especially Christians who are coming into college and definitely Catholics too. That there's this idea of like, okay, I want to know who God is, or I do ask these big questions, but then in the it just yeah, maybe it just like doesn't feel like it feels important but not urgent necessarily in someone's life, or there's what the world has been telling us of like college is the best 4 years of your life and live it up and have these particular experiences and these sorts of things that have their desires rooted in things that are good that can then be twisted, obviously. But yeah, it's just a difficult place when there's major competing desires for our attention and for our hearts. It makes it a difficult place to choose, especially when you don't have the same accountability, and maybe even and you don't even have the same church relationships. Like the people that you grew up going to church with, now probably none of them are there when you get to college.
And it can be a really big blessing when that does happen. And you know, like praise God if you have people like, you know, from your home parish or from your high school or stuff like that are going to like the same school that you're going to. Obviously, that can be more so of like if you're going to an in-state school or something like that. But yeah, it definitely can be very difficult if kind of the dynamic of a new community is like is presented to you, especially if it's not like your number one thing of, oh, I'm gonna go get involved at the Newman Center like right off the bat as a freshman. It's like I know for me, like getting involved in journalism and stuff like that, especially because I went to school to pursue journalism, like that was
top banana, like right off the bat. And then slowly over time, the Lord kind of chipped away at me until it was like, okay, like this needs to be priority number one in my life, because ultimately I knew what I wanted in terms of, like, you mentioned earlier, like that imaginative, like, vision of what a life with a relationship with Christ could look like, or living, you know, a quote unquote good Catholic life. And I think oftentimes people might have that vision in their head of like what it could look like down the road, but they think like, I got plenty of time to do that. I think the college is the four best years of your life, so live it up and live with no regrets mindset. But then ultimately it's kind of those people who are like, yeah, like I'll settle down and start a relationship with Christ and I'll start praying like after that's done, and like I'll kind of like take time to figure that out later. It seems to be like a pretty big trap that someone can fall into of, they know where they want to be, but they don't necessarily want to like put in the effort to like to get to that point.
Yeah, I think that's a great comment. And that, which just like boils back down to original sin, right? Like it stems from a distrust in the Lord, and a distrust that when Jesus in John chapter 10 promises us abundant life, that me not choosing to make the faith a priority is just me saying like, I hear you, Jesus, when you say this, but like, I don't actually believe that when you say abundant life, that I want to choose it right now, starting at the day one of my freshman year, where it's like, I want to be maybe concerned about my faith later on, and be involved in this later on, but which is like why I choose sin today still, or like why I'm still a sinner. It's because I distrust the Lord's goodness and I choose other things that I think will bring me happiness and fulfillment. And my entire time since I've like had this reversion, I would say, to the Catholic faith, or this deeper conversion, has just been a battle against my own disordered mind, where I desire things that I don't want to do, and I want to do things that I don't do and I don't choose. So yeah, I think that's a great comment.
Now, looking at your own experience and some of the students that you've walked with as a missionary, what's kind of the playbook that can be made to transform someone from being lukewarm within the faith and just kind of, you know, showing up out of obligation, or like if that even, to someone who's fully alive in Christ?
Yeah, good question. When I went to college, my senior year in theology class, I had a theology teacher who I really liked, and he said that if you want to remain a faithful, committed Catholic in college, then you need to have a daily prayer life, a sacramental life, and to have community. And so I got to college and I went to Mass on Sundays, and I went to confession probably once a month. And then I prayed the Hail Mary every night before I went to bed. So sacramental life and prayer life, check, check right there. but I was not interested in joining the community at the church. Like I said, I wanted my friends to be on my club sports team, which they were, and in the business school, which they were. And then I was like, it was my own pride, but I was playing too cool for school and didn't want to be involved in the Newman Center, and really had no interest in doing that. So I'm talking about this playbook, I think, and like in winning someone over to Jesus, that basis that we talked about earlier is like, we want to introduce them into and foster a relationship between them and Jesus. And ultimately people have to choose that for themselves, right? But my whole job is like figuring out ways, right, as a missionary, to introduce someone to the person of Jesus. And a quick story I have on this. So I played club sports in college. I played ultimate frisbee. And now here at Mizzou, I'm the coach of the ultimate frisbee team at Mizzou. And I lead a Bible study with those guys. And just this past week at Bible study, I was talking to them and we were just talking about like, if I were to ever leave Mizzou, then one of the guys was like, Kip, if you left, there would not be a Bible study anymore. Like if a new missionary came in and kept the Ultimate Frisbee Bible study going, no one would come, which is kind of a funny thing for them to say, but it's true probably because most of them are not Catholic or practicing Christians. But it's because I coach them and hang out with them and practice with them and have a relationship with them that then gives me the relational buy-in, basically, to have the freedom to talk about Jesus and talk about my relationship with Jesus and to share that in Bible study. And so when you talk about this playbook, it's like we have to model relationship with them to build this imagination, like of what I was saying earlier, not like make-believe imagination, but just like the capacity to imagine what could relationship with Jesus even look like. And that's formed a lot in our human relationships, right? And Bible study is a place where we, like the guys know that maybe we joke around and talk about whatever at practice, but when they come to Bible study, that conversation is going to be a little bit more elevated. We're going to talk about things that are not just like surface level. But then they have the freedom to like really tap into like, okay, what are they experiencing this week and how does scripture apply to their life? And just like what a relationship can be amongst a group of men or women for that matter. But I would say that is like, yeah, probably a key aspect of my job, what we would call incarnational evangelization, right? Just like being in relationship with people, like in the flesh, in person, and fostering a relationship where people know that they're seen and known and loved and chosen, so that we can then take that relationship and introduce them to the person of Jesus who wants the same for their life as well. So I don't know if that answered your question all the way, but that's my answer.
I think it really does, because I think to have, and we can maybe go a little bit more in depth on kind of that, the three prongs, so to speak, of like what a faithfully committed Catholic life looks like with prayer, sacraments, and community. Because I feel like if you remove any of those three from the equation, then it just kind of diminishes how active the Lord is able to kind of work within your own life. Because I think that it's God encountering man in all different capacities that man needs to be like reached in. And like when you look at like a personal prayer relationship, that is just the one-on-one of you encountering the Lord. And then you have your small group, you have your community, which is more so like your core group of people that like you actively have conversations with. And it can be even more expansive than that, of just people that like you're generally acquaintances with through the faith. And then you also have participation in the sacraments, which is kind of this large group participation. And it's not necessarily with everyone that you know. Like if I feel like it's only in like a small town parish that you know every single person who's in the pews. But like it's something that is like every single person has like participation, and like if they're a baptized Catholic, they have, you know, like, and go through all the sacraments, like they have a right to then like receive those sacraments and join the greater body of the church within those. So I feel like you're pretty spot on with that, and just how all three of those things, and you mentioned community life as kind of a big part of that, because if you remove community life, and like at that point, like, you know, you're kind of living your faith in a vacuum. And like, if you have prayer and like say that you pray a consistent amount and like you go to mass every Sunday, but you're just one of those people who wants to immediately walk out the door as soon as the closing hymn starts playing, then it's not something that's necessarily going to be lived out as well, because you have no one to really share those experiences with. It's really just you and the Lord at that point, with no other people to share those experiences with in an intentional way.
Yeah, which is, and thinking about all this, and I want to tap into more community what you were, or to speak on one thing of that, but Acts 2:42, the apostles committed themselves to the three things I had just mentioned that my high school teacher said, which is prayer, sacramental life, and fellowship or community, and then teaching of the apostles too. And I think in my own story, like I was bought into the idea of prayer, sacramental life, and teaching the apostles. And granted, I had a ways to grow and still do in all of those three areas, but I was kind of like, I was against the idea, I think, of community. And I just wanted my friends to be in other places, or maybe that's not necessarily true, but I just had my friends in other places and wasn't willing to make relationships at the Newman Center. And I think like seriously believed this lie that I could be Catholic on my own. I could be a Christian on my own, which is just not a possibility, really. Like the Lord calls us into fellowship with one another. And that was, I was like, I can just do this on my own. And that was, I think what kept me, it was my own choosing in this mediocre lifestyle for a long time, because I had no one to call me higher, no one to show me what it meant to pray, no one to hold me accountable. I was just trying to do it on my own, which severely limited what I was saying earlier, this Catholic imaginative worldview of like, yeah, as long as I'm doing better than my teammates and then my peers, the other students I was working alongside with, who were into some pretty wild things or living a wild lifestyle. In my head, I was like, well, I'm way ahead of them. So I'm in a great place, and spiritually I'm very healthy, which then in going to seek for the first time, I think really opened my eyes to seeing like, okay, what is possible, which in a good way kind of revealed this poverty in my heart, where I was like, wow, I am far from where I actually want to be. And I need to, community like helps to reveal that in our hearts. Which is a great gift. So yeah, I like what you're saying on community there.
I think that can, what you were mentioning there about like other people who you kind of associate yourself with in college, be it in like the major program that you're in, or just in random communities that pop up here and there, from people who live on your dorm floor to people who like involvement in club sports or fraternity or sorority, you can look at some of those people and like maybe think to yourself, like, you know, I'm living a life that's morally better than them, but it doesn't necessarily mean that everything is all like peaches and cream on that front. Like it can really be like, when you were saying that, it reminded me of like, whenever people are talking about like needing to outrun a bear, it's like, I don't need to outrun the bear, I just need to outrun you. And yeah. I feel like that's like the spiritual equivalent of that, of like, yeah, you know, I don't need to run as fast as I can because there's someone who's running slower than me. And like, all I need to do is just stay a little bit ahead of where they're at and I will be okay. But like, that's just kind of like, I feel like that's kind of moving the goalpost a little bit and like almost like rationalizing, like, I guess trying to be like, I don't know. It's trying to just be like okay, I know that this is bad. This is kind of the unacceptable zone, but I'll just keep myself like just above it. So that way I can be like, you know, I'm not an absolute wretch, but like, it's still not living in the fullness of life. It's like, yeah, you're trying to avoid the bad as opposed to pursuing the good.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that just like that comparison game was super present in my life and still is, honestly, in a way where it's like, okay, as long, it just goes back to what we were talking about. Like, I want to be motivated out of love for Jesus rather than out of, I just need to at least be a couple steps ahead of where my peers are, which is just like not how the Lord operates. And it still points to this distrust that I had and still have in my heart of what the Lord wants for me, that I just want to take him at his word and trust him when he says, I came so that you may have abundant life. And when I choose to ask the questions in my heart of like, how in the world can I still be and make it to heaven, or like just want to make it to purgatory? You know, if you've ever heard someone say that.
Yeah.
A twisted view, right? Of like, I want to give my whole life to Christ. Because he promises abundant life, and I know that he has it in store for me if I choose him. But it's just like, yeah, I need to be reminded of that constantly, and I need to partake in prayer and sacramental life and fellowship and the teaching of the apostles as much as I can in order to remind me of that.
Yeah, I think I pulled up, this is a quote from Revelation chapter 3, and it kind of reminds me of the, like, not necessarily wanting, like, heaven or hell, but just trying to make it to purgatory. Mm-hmm. And to give you a context of how I discovered these two verses here, it was from a video about how bad the 2011-2012 Charlotte Bobcats basketball team was. It was the very first, I was like the title card of the video, and the passage goes as such. It's from Revelation chapter 3, verses 15 and 16, and it says, I know your works, I know that you are neither hot, you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either cold or hot. So, because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. And so, like, it's just kind of that, like, it's the feeling of with, like, you kind of got to pick, like, one or the other. It's almost like that crossroads that can kind of happen, and instead of just like you have the light to turn green at really any point, like, or the light is already green, and like, you know, the light isn't getting any greener.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, taking Acts 2:42 and the aspects of that from a big idea to like the actual practicals of living that out. If someone wants to take that step from being kind of a Christmas or Easter Catholic or like a lukewarm Catholic to having that abundant life, how can they integrate their faith into their day-to-day life? If it kind of feels like your faith is at present moment disconnected from everything else that's kind of happening within your life.
Yeah, good question. I kind of want to maybe consider two different people, two different kinds of people who might be in this scenario. One is the person who's maybe like feeling this inkling or wanting to get involved for the first time. And maybe doesn't know necessarily how to go about that. And then the second would be maybe if whoever's listening to this has someone in their life who maybe has this desire for a friend of theirs or a peer, or like, how do we introduce someone into this, or what can that look like? So I think Yeah, to answer the question, for someone who's maybe experiencing this inkling or this desire to get involved or this desire to know Jesus and just like really doesn't exactly know how to go about doing it, I think having the freedom or giving yourself the freedom to start to ask big questions in your life, which I think people kind of think about these things, but to really sit down and wrestle with them and bring them to prayer and or at least like try to pray maybe for the first time. Some of these questions of like, why am I here and who made me and what am I made for? And what, God, if you believe in a God, like what is your plan for my life? And how do I figure that out? And just to like I said, just start to wrestle with some of these big questions for the first time. And I don't think there needs to be this like crazy shift in someone's life. Or necessarily like a rock bottom moment or a really low. I don't think those necessarily need to be these like conversion engines, which the Lord uses them often. But someone doesn't necessarily have to experience that in order to come to know Jesus. But yeah, I would say like very simply, just to get involved in some capacity. And I know because when I was a college student, I did not want to go to any event at the Newman Center. But I did, I went to one or two Bible studies my freshman year. And I joined a Bible study and then I left that Bible study thinking like that was okay, but these people are not my best friends. So I'm probably not going to go back next week, which is an unfair expectation of me, right? It's like, okay, if I met someone for 45 minutes, I'm not going to be their best friend right away. And if I want to have a relationship with Jesus, and to have a relationship with friends who also know Jesus, there's like some sort of upfront work that needs to happen where I need to put myself out there a couple more times or continue going to this Bible study or be willing to join a retreat or go on a focus conference or something like this, right? Where it's like, how can I be in a position where I'm, how can I put myself in a position where I'm going to be making or trying to make friendships with people who are also looking to know Jesus? And then I think just start. It's like, you don't have to have this perfect, you don't have to have perfect prayer. I tell my guys a lot, if I'm to degrade them on their prayer life, if I were to judge your prayer life, I would say I can only judge two things. And one of them is your honesty and the other one is your consistency. So, and I think that's all the Lord wants from us. It's like, it doesn't have to be fruitful or if it's dry, it doesn't mean it's a failure or if you get distracted or whatever. But if you can be consistent, if you can just show up regularly and carve out time in your day to speak to the Lord, and then if you can be honest, like those are really the only two things that we can control in prayer. I can choose to show up and I can choose to tell the Lord what's on my mind and what's on my heart and how I'm actually feeling in any particular day. So that's how I would say maybe going about someone who's discovering these for the first time or like really feeling this pull to like, I want to get to know the Lord or I want to have a relationship with Jesus. I have no idea what that means. And then very quickly for the second kind of person, maybe if you're listening, you have someone in your life who you want to know Jesus for the first time. And I think people can feel free to maybe dig into spiritual conversation. It seems like this taboo topic or like, how do I even talk about it? But really all we need to do is ask questions to someone and say like, hey, I would love to get a coffee with you. And, just like, I'd love to get a coffee with you. And then you can lead that into more spiritual conversations. Like, what was your faith tradition growing up? And what was your experience in that? And what do you think about the faith now? And just kind of some of these basic questions can be asked in a way that's disarming and doesn't necessarily have people put up walls or like push you away, but rather to ask out of a genuine curiosity in order so that we can meet them where they're at in the moment. So those are kind of two thoughts that I have on someone in this position.
Yeah. I think I was talking with someone just the other day and like, I felt like that person was kind of in like that first person that you mentioned, like they kind of had like this inkling or just this strong pull to do something. And I was kind of on person two's perspective of like, it's like, okay, this seems like someone who is like really desiring this. And like, I feel like, especially if you've like lived mission long enough or like spent enough time around like Catholic college students, you kind of start to pick up those breadcrumbs of, okay, like this person, it like seems like they want it, but how do you kind of get them from, how do you get them from square one to square two in like on that journey? And especially like me as a campus minister, and I'm sure like, well, I know this for like a fact for you being a missionary and like having like walked alongside you in that journey, is like, how do you get those like breadcrumbs into practical action? And like, it's like, I think I know, like, I think I know what I want, but I just don't know where to start. And then like I had a really great conversation with this person about that, because I was just like, it was mainly, I wasn't telling her necessarily what, like I gave her some advice, but it was more so along the lines of like asking her, like, what do you think? Or like, you kind of know what you want to do, but what does that look like? I think that that's like always a great question within those conversations, is if someone like puts out that desire of, oh, like, you know, I want to like lead a Catholic family if I'm a husband, or like, yeah, I really want to have a strong relationship with Jesus, and like, I want to be a great Catholic mom one day, or like all these things. Follow-up question to that is like, what does that look like? Like,
yeah,
like right now you're at point A, and I guess that's not like where their angle is not point B, it's like point Z, because
yeah.
Like, it's like you have a lot of different kind of experiences and things that you go through to get you from point A to point Z.
Yeah, I think that's a great question. I remember when I was a first year, one of my friends told me that like a great Bible study leader could lead an entire Bible study and only ask questions and still bring people to a point or like bring people to reveal the truth themselves. And I think that's a great thing of what you were just saying of like, okay, how can we just be guides along their path in order to help them, like just to be a mirror to them and reflect what they're telling us or what we're seeing in their life or what they're doing in order to help them get to these points that they want to be at, which I think is true. What you said, like a lot of people, whether or not they're super involved in their faith or not, while they're in college, have this desire to raise a family with good values and attend church regularly and be committed Christians. And yeah, it's like that doesn't just happen overnight, which is hard because I want it to happen overnight.
Yeah. Yeah. I think everyone, both the person who is like, both the person who is in the spot of like the actual one who is desiring to strengthen their relationship with Christ, and the person who's like encouraging them to do so, it's funny because both sides want it to be an overnight process, but like I think that like that's where like those are great opportunities to exercise the virtues of humility and of patience, because like it's not going to be an overnight process. And like, you know, there were many times, like I remember the first time that I went to confession when I was in college after not having done so for about 5 years up to that point, I thought it was going to be that overnight process of things. And then I remember coming out of the confessional and telling my best friend, I was like, I just didn't really feel anything there. Like, like, I don't know. It just kind of happened. But like, yeah. I think that I was looking for that overnight experience of like going from someone who is very like lukewarm about the faith into being someone who like had a strong sense of my relationship and identity rooted within the Lord.
Yeah. And I think that's good testimony to give witness to, because when people are like, I still have this desire in my life for my vices and sinfulness to be rid out by tomorrow. But I think it's easy when I share my testimony to say that, like, I went to the C conference, totally changed my life, which it did. But then coming away from that, I had to go through the burden of discipleship and the burden of making new friendships and the burden. I call it a burden because it's like, it's hard, right? It takes some new time, or it takes time in order to like, it takes time and is a burden to be challenged and to be held accountable and for someone to call you out when you're doing things wrong. And there was like a necessary, and I mean, it's still what I'm on right now, but this like purging or like cleansing of the vice in my life that I'm trying to rid myself of. I'm grateful to have had a missionary walk alongside me in that and be willing to continually engage me in those kinds of conversations. It was a great gift in my life.
Yeah, it's faith life is all about, it's more so a slow cooker than it is a microwave. I think that there's a lot of grace within that. And I guess thinking about, so like when this episode is going to come out, like, you know, Wednesday of Holy Week, like this, if it's the Christmas and Easter Catholics, you know, like, and they're getting ready for Holy Week coming up here with Holy Thursday and Good Friday service, and then the Mass either at Easter Vigil or Easter Sunday, like it's gonna be like a lot of people are like, this is kind of like the time in yeah. which like a lot of them are like, okay, like I feel like at this point in the liturgical season, like this and Christmas and Ash Wednesday as well, I like that you mentioned that earlier, since that does draw so many people into the doors of the church, like you really have a captive audience at that point. So like if someone's going into those experiences, or like even if they're just going into a Mass on Sunday, like, you know, what are some of the transformational lessons that you learned about the beauty of the faith by going to Mass as often as you did, and like really taking appreciation of the liturgy that was happening like right in front of you?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think one of the first, something that I think about immediately when you ask that question is that, just like another benefit of community, I think a way that I like almost ostracized myself from community is because I could see the people who were involved at the Newman Center and just think that there's a lot of people who go to daily prayer or who go to daily Mass and have an opinion made up in my mind that these people are like in perfect communion with the Lord, right? And hear his booming voice in prayer every day and know exactly his will for their lives. And I think there's just like a lot of lies that I can believe about the spiritual life that other people are experiencing. And then when I go into the chapel and I'm grateful to have a little bit of silence, but maybe I'm not like super clear on God's will for my life coming out of 5 minutes of prayer, I think just like the benefit of being in communion with people or being in relationship with people who are also striving to know the Lord really helps to know that, like, yeah, it's okay. And it's a common experience to be distracted at Mass, or to not know every part of the liturgy, or to just like not be as formed as we want to be. So kind of what we were saying, I feel like there's this desire to go from like, I'm at A and these people around me are at Z and I have no idea. Like, I don't want to go through the burden of points B, C, D, blah, 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 all the way on, nor do I even know how. But I think just this idea of like, yeah, for someone who might be going to Mass on Easter or Christmas or Ash Wednesday for the first time in a long time or since the last Easter, Christmas or Ash Wednesday, to know that it's like, I think one of the best ways to start to build your relationship with Jesus is maybe just stick around a little bit after Mass and see who else is sticking around and be willing to put yourself out there and have a conversation and maybe get to know some of the other people involved in the church who are wanting and willing to make time and space for a relationship with Jesus in their lives as well.
Yeah, I think there's something to be said about just sticking in the gathering space or the narthex or whatever you want to call it at yeah. your Newman Center or parish or wherever it might be. Like that's where the magic happens. Like, like obviously the mysteries of faith that happen during the liturgy and obviously with the Eucharist are much more paramount than that. But I think that there's a lot to be said about just like making sure that everything is like within a community context. And so like, especially like, I think since SEEK as a campus minister, like one of the biggest things that I've been trying to do is like, if I'm in the gathering space, like I have, it's like, okay, I'm going to have no qualms about just walking up to whomever it might be if I don't know them and just asking, hey, what's your name? And then starting up a conversation with them. Like, I think I've done that at the past two student masses that that I've been at Newman. And it's led to like conversations that have lasted like 15, 20 minutes. Yeah. And like, you know, it ends up leading somewhere. And I think, you know, if you're kind of the person who's on the opposite side of those things, like, you know, you're not going to have those random chance encounters with like people such as myself or you or someone who's like living, who's kind of where you want to be, so to speak, in terms of community life. And I think another point also to go off of what you were saying, and it goes back to that comparison aspect of the faith of feeling like everyone is at point Z while you're at point A. Like nobody is at point Z. Like to be honest with you, like point Z isn't like to have, you know, a wife and kids or husband and kids and like, and all that stuff. Like, you know, you look around, if you were to, I guess, plot people, like, you know, you have people who are at like point Q or point G, or like you have people who are like all over, like who are all over in their faith journey. And like, that's like ultimately the beautiful universality of the faith, is that you have a lot of people who are at different stages in their faith, and you can learn a lot about the faith through people who are at different stages. Like, you can meet someone who's at I feel like I've learned a lot about the faith through some people who are like, who feel like they're at point A, like,
yeah,
just by like, or it gives me like some sort of zeal, or like, you know, there's some like truth, beauty, and goodness about like what they're talking about that like really inspires me to like live my own life of mission.
Yeah. I like that a lot. I like that.
Now, final question for you today, Kip. First and foremost, it's been a great conversation with you, and I'm so glad that we found some time to get together on the pod and record the episode. Yeah. And it's been a true gift living mission with you. And the last thing to ask is, especially since it's Holy Week, when this episode is being released, and it's kind of the end of Lent, it's Holy Week, and then we immediately transition into the Easter season. If you were to just make one challenge to someone who's out there listening, who feels as if they're kind of in this position of lukewarm faith, what would be a challenge that you would give to them?
Yeah, that is a great question, Mason. I think, I feel like this is a classic tip, but maybe to make it more specific, of just like, just start to pray every day. And I think people can be, myself included, intimidated on like, what is even prayer and what does it look like and what should it look like? But I was talking earlier about judging quote unquote people's prayer. And really it's just like, if you show up and if you're telling the Lord what's on your heart, especially things, if you're looking to get involved where it's like, okay, Jesus, I want good friendships, or I want a virtuous friend, or I want to know who you are, or like, Jesus, I feel like I don't know how to pray, or I don't know how to talk to someone, or I don't know how to be in relationship with you, or I don't know how to stop sinning, or just to like give kind of these honest cries from our heart to the Lord in a very particular way. He always meets us there, and he always blesses that. Not necessarily in a way that our problems get solved right away, or our life becomes rainbows and butterflies immediately. But that is exactly where the Lord wants us. And that starts to open the door of our heart to get to know him more. So I think things on what we talked about, like, yes, stick around after Mass, look to get involved, look to make a friend, put yourself out there, all these things. But ultimately, I just think a simple thing is, if you can carve out just any short amount of time in silence in your day to commune with the Lord and start to ask him these questions and let him know what's been sitting on your heart, the Lord wants to meet us there, and he wants to be with us in that.
Yeah. And I'll kind of add on to that and say, set a timer for 15 minutes. And,
yeah.
Like that way you'll know, okay, I'm setting aside 15 minutes of my time to just spend it with the Lord, and I'm going to cast out distractions from there and just see how the Holy Spirit works within that time and space. So, well, once again, Kip, I really appreciate you coming on the podcast. Thank you so much for sharing your testimony and your wisdom. Always, yeah. always love hearing from you. And yeah, I can't wait until I see you in our campus ministry meeting on Monday.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Thank you so much for having me on and for letting me share a bit of my thoughts. Great work on hosting this podcast.
Of course. Have a great rest of your day.
Thanks, brother. See ya.
I'm always just so appreciative of Kip's wisdom and straightforward delivery of the gospel. And whether or not you are regularly involved at your Newman Center or your parish back home, going to Mass every Sunday, or it's been a minute since you've gone to Mass, I hope that this Holy Week is going to be a truly transformational one, and that you are able to take something helpful away from this episode. So before I make like the disco and boogie on out of here, if you haven't done so yet, or if this is your very first time tuning into the show, make sure that you follow the Collegiate Catholic Show on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, along with giving us a follow on Instagram at Collegiate Catholic Show. Then turn on notifications so you never miss any updates or shows. New episodes of the Collegiate Catholic Show are released every Wednesday throughout the school year, and we are so, so happy that you are here with us on this journey toward heaven. Until we meet again, I hold you all in my heart and pray that your love for Christ Jesus and all those around you may increase more and more. God bless.